Luke 11:1, real quick. I'm going to hit a couple passages, and then I'll sit down. I should be able to do this in 20 minutes. I may take an extra five. Now, we're a Bible church. That means you should have it with you, because you need to know firsthand. I know a whole lot of folk that repeat stuff and recite stuff. Ain't even in the Bible. They heard it and repeated it, never read it, never saw it, and then they will fight you over it as though it's actually legitimate, and it ain't even in the book. Somebody says, it's not even in the book. All right. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So here the disciples have heard Jesus praying. And when they heard Jesus praying, these are people who are praying people. They heard Jesus praying, but they said, wait a minute. The way he's praying is a little different than the way I'm praying, so I may need some lessons. You ever gone along somebody and they were doing something that you thought you were doing good until you saw them do it, and then you realize, I might need some lessons. I remember a guy came to our house to give us a quote on new windows. So he came, he whipped out his iPad, he's showing us the windows, and he's going along, and he's walking through the house, you know. And so he said, well, you know, I'm an award-winning photographer. So I said, really? He said, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. So my wife said, well, you know, all of these pictures in the house, they're his. He's an award-winning photographer, too. And then all of a sudden, he didn't say anything else about photography. Sometimes you find out that you don't know all you thought you knew. That, you know, that's why even with preaching, I found out, man, I can preach in here now. I can preach. When those doors close, you guys before me, I can rock and roll. But then if I get on the stage with some of the other preachers, then it's like, well, maybe I need some preaching lessons. The disciples saw Jesus, and moreover, they heard him pray. And in hearing them pray, it dawned on them that, wait a minute, now he's having a conversation. You know, some people pray, some people say prayers. There's a difference. Some people say, well, I'll be praying for you. It's almost like I'll hope that things get better. It's not a legitimate conversation with a real God where there's expectation involved in the conversation that things will actually change. It's just a matter of, let me, from an emotional standpoint, get this up and out so that I feel that maybe and hope that maybe something will get better. But that's not the way Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed in a way that it obviously sounded like he was talking to somebody. In fact, he went on to tell the disciples, he said, well, when you pray, first of all, pray our Father. Not my Father. Our Father, which means not only is he my Father, not only do I have an intimate and personal relationship with him, but you too have it if you want it. So when you talk to him like somebody you really know, and talk to him as though you would talk to your natural father. But even beyond that, know that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above anything you can ever ask, think, or imagine. So when you talk to him like your daddy. Talk to him like your father. If you didn't have a good father relationship, well, here's a chance to really have one. Because there's nothing like the relationship that we have him. For some people, prayer is a religious duty. It's what they think they need to do. I'm always amazed when I sit down to dinner with somebody. Actually, I shouldn't admit the fact that, you know, sometimes I just kind of pause on purpose and just kind of let there be this little awkward, silent delay. Because I know that they're waiting for me to pray for the food. And so I just kind of sit there. I don't touch anything. I just kind of pause. Because I know that they're saying, you do know you got to pray before you eat. I said, well, maybe. How about if I prayed before I got here? How about if I woke up thanking them for this meal? Does it matter when it happens? Does it even really matter how it happens? I mean, we have this traditional way of doing some things. Most of you, if you grew up like I grew up, my daddy didn't go to church, but he prayed for his food. And he said, well, I thank you for the food that we're about to receive, for the nourishment of our bodies. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. But I never heard him pray about anything else, but he's going to pray about that food, and it's going to happen every single time. Then, of course, there's the sanctified prayer over food, and in that prayer, you pray that all the infirmities are removed. Doesn't matter that you're sitting there eating pig ears. Eating something that you know going to kill you. You know going to cause hypertension and blood pressure and all kind of other issues. Doesn't matter that that's the case, but you still want the Lord to bless it. Our prayer lives are interesting in that sometimes it's just words spoken out of tradition, out of religious duty, even out of fear. Been traveling every now and then, somebody says, let's pray. Lay hands on the car and pray traveling grace. Well, you get traveling mercies too. Mercy, traveling grace, you know. And it's a superstitious kind of thing. It's like out of fear. We got to pray that prayer so nothing will happen along the way. Well, I'm in him and he's in me. If we have an accident, we're going to have it together, me, him, and all the other folk that might be here. But I live in an expectation that God's got me. That's not to say I don't pray. It's just that from a practical standpoint, from an experiential standpoint, it doesn't mean that I have to say the words the way you think I need to say the words every time I need to say the words in order for it to be. But prayer is prayer, and prayer is a lifestyle. Jesus prayed in a way that blew these guys away because they couldn't understand why he wouldn't bless the food when they thought he should, or pray for travel and mercy. Sometimes he just got on the road, I'm sure, and just started driving. And along the way, he probably just in the course of the travels, he probably every now and then just started talking to God and didn't care what they thought about it. People that pray talk to God all the time. Sometimes you're in motion. You know, I'm on the plane the other day, plane take off, and I'm up in the air before I said, wait, you know what, Lord, I just thank you that this wonderful technology allow us to do this. Have us here safe. Conversation. Somebody say it's a conversation. Some people think it's spiritual warfare. I love what Bishop Kirby said. He opened up the conversation about what transpired with his wife, which was devastating because, you know, she was diagnosed one day and died. Here's a man that talks to God, walks with God, serves God. A woman who walks with God, talks to God, serves God. He talked about her prayer life during the funeral, and they said how incredible this woman was. He said, if she said to you she was praying for you, better believe you got prayed for. But yet, the Lord hid from him what was about to take place. And he opened up and he said, first of all, there's no controversy with God. See, I'm not twisted about what just happened because he is God. He's the Lord of my life. No controversy with God. I said, wow, how can you say something like that? You know? But the other thing that he said, and I just want you all to know, we never talk to the devil. He said, because the devil is a liar, we don't talk to liars. Some people think spiritual warfare involves talk to the devil. I've been in services where people talk to the devil more than they talk to God. They tell the devil what he gonna do, what he ain't gonna do, how he gonna do it, how he ain't gonna do it. It's like, well, you don't really have to have a conversation with him. And in fact, you know, Jesus didn't talk to the devil. You know, he talked to his Father. And he didn't tell us to talk to the devil. He says, our Father. He didn't say our Father and the devil. He said, our Father who's in heaven. And then devil, we'll talk to you too a little bit. No, that's schizophrenia. Prayers are interest into the spirit realm. Prayers are interest into the supernatural. Prayer is our interest into the miraculous. When we get there, when we get on our knees, or when we don't get on our knees. By the way, I read a scripture about prayer. I've been reading about prayer. And I noticed that there was a whole lot of getting on the knees. I also noticed that we don't get on our knees a whole lot anymore. But we need to practice getting on our knees a little bit more. It's a good place of humbling yourself. Sometimes I lay out flat. I love to lay out just flat, just talk to God. Something about that place. Even Jesus got on his knees. He knelt and prayed. Amen? Y'all with me today? Luke 18:1. Just let me just quote these and keep it moving. But in Luke 18:1, it said he spoke a parable to them that men ought to always pray and not lose heart. Men should pray all the time. And not lose heart. If you're praying, you won't lose heart. If you're not praying, you get caught up, man. This stuff, what particularly the world we're living in now, my God, is that it's ramping up a little bit. And if you're not praying, you'll lose heart. If you're not praying, you'll be found confessing that the church is losing the battle. And the church is not losing the battle. In fact, I love the wisdom of God, how he uses all things and causes them to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He'll take madness, total madness, and use it to make us look at what we need to look at and hear what we need to hear and see what we need to see and feel what we need to feel so that we can do what we were called to do. The first century church had to experience persecution to go obey God. If it wasn't for the persecution that they experienced in the first century church, they would have stayed there and had church together every day, day in, day out. They were enjoying the apostles' teachings. They were breaking bread. They were praying and fellowship. They would have stayed right there. They would have been right there in a little old Plainfield in the basement, just having fun with one another, talking about kumbaya over and over and over and over again. Somebody got to break out and go do something. Hello? Somebody's got to do something. So he said, we ought to always pray. We got to keep praying. We need to be people of prayer. And prayer shouldn't be a religious duty. Prayer should be a passion to be in the presence of God, the Father who wants it. So every believer needs a rich prayer life, number one. Number two, every believer needs to know how to pray. And if you don't know how to pray, you need to get around people that know how to pray and learn how to pray. The disciples had enough sense, to say, wait a minute, teach us how to pray. John taught his disciples. And that scripture convicted me even more. Although we've always been a praying church, from day one, we've been a church that's praying and we've been a church that taught prayer. But I really never saw the scripture in this way, that these guys asked for instruction. And I said, okay, so then we have to be even more deliberate in that, in instructing people how to pray. How to pray? How do you have a talking relationship with our Father? So you have to find out who knows how to pray, and you have to learn how to pray. Somebody was asking yesterday, do you really have to go to church? I said, no, you don't really have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. But I guarantee you that Brother Brandon on these drums did not learn hanging around with the keyboard. There were some drummers. How old were you when you started playing? 7 years old, and you sat there, was it at church? Took some lessons from somebody that knew how to play those drums. You're gonna learn how to pray, you need to take some lessons. You started at seven-year-old, y'all can start praying now. My mother took me, showed me how to pray. My mother, my cousin, had a cousin, showed me how to fast. Gave me some instruction, gave me some direction, explained to me the benefits and the advantages of having this kind of lifestyle, showed me how to do it. My God, I'm so blessed in that. I have others. Then, of course, you go to church, you watch the old folk. That's why I love it when these folk bring their kids to prayer, even if they act like they're not paying attention, even look like they're not getting it. They get it. Hello? So, believers, we need to have a passionate prayer life. We need to know how to pray, but we need to have our hearts open to learn how to pray. Some folk are reluctant to pray. They don't want to learn how to pray. So come to corporate prayer. You need to come to corporate prayer. Corporate prayer, you hear people pray. Okay? It's not a contest. And what I want you to hear more than anything else, because every now and then, some of us old school prayers, we grew up, some of us grew up even praying the King James. Lord, thou art. Well, we don't have to pray like that. You just need a conversation. But if you can hear the heart of the matter and know that we can actually have a very real conversation with God and talk to him, that he hears, he wants to hear, and most importantly, he responds to what we say. He responds to what we say. Amen? So look at Jesus saying in Luke 5:16, Jesus says this. But we see Jesus doing this. So he himself often, say often, he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus often withdrew to the point where the disciples sometimes would wake up and look for him. He's not there because he got away from them and went somewhere because he knew he needed to talk to the Father. And for me, when I read this, I'm saying, listen, if Jesus needed to pray, If Jesus thought that it was advantageous to pray, if Jesus felt the necessity to be in the presence of his Father to have a conversation, I said, well, who am I? Who am I? I can't just go day in and day out and don't talk to God. There's a problem with that. I don't know how y'all feel about that, but I'm very uncomfortable when I'm slacking in prayer. And by the way, every now and then I slack. Anybody else slack every now and then? All right. Seasonal. There are times when I'm on fire. I can't wait to open my eyes to open my mouth. Then there are times when I have to fight myself to get on my knees, to get before God. You know, you can forget too. You know, when times get good, you can forget. Yeah. When times are tough, when you're going through hell, it's easy to talk to God. Easy. You hear me? I remember Don Thomas one year, this was some years ago, he said to me, he said, you know, money, he said, money makes my spirit work. He said, I can pray better when I got money. But I don't want to wait until hell breaks loose to have a conversation with God. Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness to pray. Often. Mark 1:35 said, now in the morning, Mark 1:35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he, speaking of Jesus, went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. What Jesus got to talk about? Now, I guarantee you, first of all, he didn't repent for any sin because he was sinless. A lot of us, the only time we talk to God is when we get in trouble. I'm convinced that when he was talking kingdom business with his Father. I'm sure he expressed some things to him in terms of gratitude. The Bible tells us to do that, so I'm sure he was thanking the Father for blessing him, making progress, thanking him for the disciples that he made. I thank God for you all. Thank God for those who are following. Thank God for those who were healed and delivered. All of the testimonies. I'm sure he was thanking, but I'm also sure that he was talking kingdom business. Like, we got some things that's going on here that we need you involved down here in this program. But he did it often. Many times before the sun came up, he disappeared, got away from everybody, found a space to go talk to God. So I'm looking at a pattern. I'm looking at a pattern. And if I'm a Christian, meaning I'm following Christ, then I need to observe these patterns, and then I need to make sure that I'm following what I see. Now, I don't have to understand. That's one thing that I learned some years ago, Bishop. Now, if we got to wait for you to understand it all, we ain't going to never get nowhere. Some things you just have to hear, listen, and obey. Now, if Jesus prayed like this, it tells me what we need to do. What do we need to do? And he also told us we ought to pray and not lose heart. Amen? So, let me just give you these, and then I'll sit down. The reason that I pray, and the reason that I suggest we all need to pray. Number one, he invited us to pray. He invited us to talk. He invited us to have relationships, to interact. Second reason I like to pray is because I legitimately enjoy God's company. I enjoy his presence. I'm sure Jesus enjoyed just talking to his Father. You're dealing with stuff in this world. You're trying to get stuff back on track. You're trying to get stuff in order. You're trying to be salt and light in the midst of this crazy world. You need a voice. You need somebody that you can get with that's going to make you feel better about the whole program. Because there are times when we all want to throw in the towel. But I enjoy just being in his presence. He makes me feel good. Number three, it's essential to our spiritual health. Because we are spirit beings. If you're not feeding the spirit, you're feeding the flesh. If you're not feeding the spirit, the flesh does what it wants to do. Many times when we get ourselves in trouble, either with our attitude, with our mouths, responding to things like the world responds to things, it's because we've not spent the time that we need with the Father. You know, when you're in prayer, you can think you're completely right on the subject, particularly unless, you know, married folk, you can relate to this more than anybody else. You know how you get angry at your spouse and you're convinced that you're totally right? And you just have this attitude. Now, you can talk to your buddy going to support you and endorse you. Right?
Yeah.
They're gonna say to you, yeah, you're absolutely right. She shouldn't be treating that way. And you don't have to take it. you know. No, you don't have to take that. I mean, the Bible says. You get some Christian tale, and you know the Bible says. And you can go through all of that. You can read books. They got magazines, articles, online. You can find anything to support your case. And you be strong. And you walk around with an attitude all stiff. And then you can spend 30 seconds on your knees. And the Lord will speak to you and tell you straightforward, you are wrong, wrong, wrong. And you need to get it right. And it's just the worst feeling because you know you got to come up with egg on your face and get it straight. Can I get an amen? Amen. Some of y'all pretending that it ain't so. And you know, some of y'all convicted today. You need to go in the parking lot and just get on your one knee. And, baby, I'm so sorry. You know, there it is. The Holy Ghost convicted me in the church service. I wasn't expecting. I didn't see that coming. This is Father's Day. I like to pray because I can bear all things. I can come in there naked. There ain't no place like the secret place where I can go and tell God everything. Lord, I'm stupid, been stupid before, I'm stupid again. Please help me not to be so doggone stupid. Over and over again. And I love the fact that with our Heavenly Father, who we can have this open and very free conversation with, no matter where I'm at, no matter where I've been, there's always a willingness, and I know this from the Word of God, there's always a willingness on His part to restore me and to bring me and put me in a place that was better than the place I was before I was acting out. Always, no matter what people say or do. My daddy always wants to make it right. He wants me to just come to him and share whatever is in my heart, whatever needs to be fixed, and he wants to work cooperatively with me to get me on the right track. So I need to pray. I don't know about you, but I need to pray. And I love the fact that I can say whatever I need to say. Number five, I like expressing thanksgiving. And I think that, for me, is one of those automatic things. I don't have to think about it as much. And in fact, no matter where I'm at spiritually, no matter what season I'm in, thanksgiving just erupts. You know, I'm thankful for my health. I can stand here. There are times when I catch myself walking and I literally stop and say, look at this here. I am on my own two feet without aid nor assistance. I have eyeballs. I mean, I have eyeballs. I can see colors. No, I'm serious. I get grateful. I can see color. I can see my children. I can see my wife's beautiful smile. I have ears to hear the giggles of my grandbabies. So I love to pray because I can express these things to God. I can thank him for food on my table. I can thank him for my eyes having seen the world and continue to see more of it. It's like, wow, man, this is awesome. But I want to give God his credit. And I love to spend time in thanksgiving. You know, sometimes if you ain't got nothing to say, just thank him. I pray number six because I believe that God intervenes in human affairs. Now, that, I believe, more than anything else, was the foundational basis of Jesus' conversation with the Father. Intervention. We talk about intercessors in the church. Intercessors, the go-between people who actually bring others before the Lord. The Bible calls us priests and kings. We're priests and kings. You're a believer? You're a priest. What does the priest do? Priest intercedes. The priest is the one that brings it before the Lord on behalf of people. This country, this world needs some people to call upon a God who is able to do some things in the areas that we can't do in our human restrictions. And we need to talk to God about intervening. Say, Lord, we need you now. We need you. This whole race thing is bubbling up in America. You know, it can go some places, and it can go quick, and it can do some really wicked things, but it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to. The Bible says, if my people who call by my name, yes, would what? Humble themselves and pray. I'm going to get on my face next month. I need to talk to them. It said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes things happen. It fails much. It makes stuff happen. So I pray because I believe God intervenes in human affairs. I need him in my life. I need him in my marriage. I need him in my children. I need him in my grandchildren. I need him in my body, my money, my attitude. I need him in this church. I need him. Some of y'all, I really need him in some of y'all. Amen. Number seven, I need to pray because it's needed to be effective in kingdom business. That's headquarters. You work a job, you know, you got to talk to the boss. If you are the boss, there's some policies and procedures that you follow to keep that thing on track. But everybody needs to get their directives and the information from a place that keeps everything consistent and successful. So I need to be praying. Number eight, I believe that prayer can impact the lives of people, places, and things. Prayer can impact the lives of people and impact places and things. Number nine is where I hear from the Lord. Prayer is where I hear from God. I can get involved in activity. I'm always careful when stuff is insane and just out of control. I'm always careful to not try to fix things in my own strength and my own wisdom and my own limited knowledge. Because first of all, when I try that, it tends to prolong the situation and then take longer to get it done than if I just hear from God. If I hear from God, there's two things you're going to see. Number one, I'm not going to be wobbly away from it. I'll be solid as a rock, firm, outstanding. You'll call me stubborn, but you really need to call me full of faith. They look similar, but they're not the same. But to hear from God, God will give you some answers. Some of the stuff that you work with in your own life, God will answer it if you listen. Amen, somebody? Okay, so it's there that I hear. Finally, when I pray, I feel a greater sense of confidence and security. When I wake up in the morning, come on, Brother Parrish. When I wake up in the morning and I talk to God and I put that day before him, if I put life before him, there's a confidence that goes with that. There's a knowing. I walk away knowing it's going to be all right today. It's going to be all right today. No matter what comes. And you find that when you put it before God, that when things do occur, you're not shaking in the same way that you would had you not prayed. Because you know, when you're not been praying and hell break loose, the first thought is, okay, God mad now. Which isn't the truth either. The Bible says, chance happens. Things happen to everybody. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers.